This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Live and Learn. I'm Lee Chui Lin. From now until the end of February, the Petaling Jaya City Council, better known perhaps as MBPJ, is launching a compound payment campaign with discounts of up to 80%. More than 4.1 million outstanding traffic summons, is quite a lot, remain unpaid, but details of traffic offenders who've not settled their traffic compounds by March 1st will then be given to the Road Transport Department, or JPJ, to prevent their road tax from getting renewed. Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman Rajiv Fishakaran is here for his monthly show. We're kicking things off with quite a bang, and is here to tell us whether a discount campaign like this would help or worsen traffic violations in the long run. Welcome to the show.
Hi, it's good to be back.
Big topic to start off.
Oh yes, indeed. Let's start off by wishing everyone a happy new year.
Yes, definitely.
I hope the new year will be good for everyone out there. And yes, we're indeed starting the first show of the year with a bang.
Okay, let's talk about this one part then. I mean, it's a pretty easy concept to understand. People are getting discounts.
Yeah, indeed.
But it would seem like we might be rewarding the worst offenders, because summons from as far back as 1999 have a bigger discount than those that were issued, say, 2 years ago in 2014. Is this unfair?
Okay. In the specific situation that MBPJ is doing this discount, I think it's something that I can get behind. In general, I do not support discounts on summons from a governing point of view, because it will tend to encourage the behavior of, I won't pay my summons, I'll wait maybe 1, 2, 3 years until there's a super sale, and yes, then I'll settle all my summonses. So this kind of behavior has got to end. We have seen the police doing this in the far past. We have seen DBKL doing this in the past. Various different councils, from every now and then, they will do this 50% discount or 10 ringgit a summon, 20 ringgit a summon thing. In general, this, in my opinion, encourages bad behavior. It encourages people who receive the summons to just put them aside and let it wait until the day comes when they can get a discount. However, there is a reason for this discount in MBPJ right now. It's because there's a change of system. In the past, your road tax is only linked to your traffic summonses issued by the police. So if you get a summons from the police, you know you have to settle this before you can renew your road tax. And if you don't, when time comes to renew your road tax, the system won't let you do it. Then you have to pay up your summons. So people are fearful of police summonses. People are careful not to get caught not wearing their seatbelt or not talking on the phone. Or if they know if they get those summonses, they have to settle it. But the attitude towards council summonses, be it DBKL, Subang, PJ, and so on, is very different.
Very lax.
Yeah, very lax. Because so what if you don't pay? And because of that, there is a flip side to it, where a lot of people have accumulated a large amount of summonses. Now, you started off the show by saying 4.1 million outstanding summonses. Some of our fellow neighbours, our friends, family, PJ residents have hundreds of summons each, because every year they've been raking up summonses. And on the basis that they think that this is not important or not serious. And so to wipe the slate clean, I'm okay with a one-off thing to wipe the slate clean before we go into a system where your summonses from MBPJ are linked to JPJ. So in the future, from March onwards, all your summonses that you get will be linked to JPJ. So if you get a parking summonses for parking on a yellow line, you won't be able to renew your road tax. So we'll consider this like a grace period to clear off your backlog, the sins of the last 10 years of your youth, if you may, as we move into a new system that really wasn't there before this.
We are discussing summons today, specifically car summons, and the discounts that are going to kick in, as well as whether long-term this is a good way to go about it. What is a good way to incentivize people to pay these up? If you would like to ask Rajiv Rishikaran, Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman, a question about summons, about this whole system, about what it means for you, give us a call. That number is 03-77109000. You can also text us at 016-201-9000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. So you talked about this being a slate wiping exercise, so to speak.
Yeah, I would call it that.
Okay, so there is no such thing. This won't happen again.
It should not happen again. But I can't speak for future administrations down the road.
Right. But in an ideal situation, what this is you pay it all off, but henceforth, if you have any remaining, if you have any
future summons,
yes. It's going to affect your road tax.
Correct.
Right. So for right now then, is this an effective policy to incentivize paying summons? Do you think people are going to kind of take this seriously because it's, you know, it's a good opportunity to wipe it off?
Well, if you refer to discounts to incentivize people to pay, I would say no, because I would think in general, discounts will incentivize people to wait until the discounts come to pay. But in this case, don't look at the discounts as the game changer. Look at the blacklisting as the game changer, because right now, we are moving into a system where your road tax is critical. You can't drive without road tax. And I don't think many of our listeners out there will dare to drive without a road tax. In the future, or starting from March this year, you've got to be very careful because every ticket that you pick up for parking illegally, for even not even paying your parking fees when you park in any of the council boxes, these summonses would affect your road tax renewal. So it is a game changer. And I think this level of enforcement, a much higher level of enforcement from the past, is what's going to change the way people drive and the way people park especially.
Drivers have come to expect discounts. I think that's just a very safe generalization to make, that by and large, Malaysians, when we get, as you said, you know, we get summons and we think, we'll wait, you know.
Yes.
Is this going to come to an end, this practice?
It should. It should. I mean, as long as I have a say in it, like this MPPJ discount grace period that we are going through right now should be the last. There should not be any more in the future.
We have a tweet here from Ahmed Taufik who wants to know, how do we check if we have outstanding summons for MPPJ?
You can check on MPPJ's website. Just to mppj.gov.my, look for the link, key in your car number plate, and you can check that.
Okay.
If you're not online, you can go to the counters and check manually as well.
If you have any other questions on car summons, any different types of summons, discounts, and just really anything at all, give us a call. That number is 0377109000. You can also text us at 0162019000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. There is a text about an online portal where one could check on their summonses. We just answered that. It's mppj.gov.my. And we have, well, a related, unrelated question. Actually, it's related. It's directly related now that I'm reading it properly.
No, that's scary. Okay.
What is MPPJ going to do about insufficient parking spaces? Because that's one of the reasons why people end up, you know, double or triple parking in the first place.
All right. I think that's a question that really merits some discussion. In a number of commercial areas, we do admit there is an insufficient amount of parking spaces. In a lot of commercial areas, though, there are options that are maybe a bit further or they may incur payment. Let's talk about, say, Section 14 PJ around the digital mall area. Plenty of double parking, plenty of parking along the yellow lines in that area. But MPPJ has a multi-story car park attached to their market next to digital mall. JR Supermarket has four basements, which I've never seen full. Across the road from Section 14, you've got Jaya 33 and Plaza 33's car park. Not often would you see Plaza 33's car park full. There are options. They may be further away. They may not be at the doorstep of the shop you want to go to. But there are many cases where we do have options. Sometimes you just got to open our eyes and look and we'll see the options. But there are cases where you just don't have the land space to cope with all the car park space that people want. This is because as we've gone over the last three decades, more and more Malaysians are driving. We're coming to a point where everyone drives a car. Nearly every car you see on the road is a single occupancy car. So there has to be also some change in behavior because we cannot have a situation where everyone drives everywhere in a single occupancy vehicle. One is the parking problem. You'll just never have enough space for parking. And no matter how much of new parking spaces you may try to create, you'll never ever keep up with the demand. So how much space we want, when is enough? When do we draw some lines? So Where there are opportunities to increase car park, we have done so. MBBJ has squeezed in back lanes, side lanes, and so on, where the space permits. But it is true that there are some places where, you know, you've just maximized every corner. Look at PJ State. You know, every single back lane, side lane that you could have squeezed in a car park box, MBBJ has drawn one. And then it comes to a point where you've got to carpool, you've got to manage your errands, plan your errands accordingly, plan your schedule accordingly, choose the shops that you want to go to accordingly. There has to be some amount of adjustment.
I want to address one thing that you mentioned there, which is, I think what you were talking about is expectation, right? There's this idea that we need to change our behavior when it comes to parking. But I also want to talk about expectation. What should we expect from public parking? Because it seems to me that if I am a resident of of Section 13, and all I want to do is go out to the market, pick up a packet of sugar and go home, you know, I should be able to park reasonably close to the supermarket and not have to park, for example, in a shopping center and walk in the rain or walk in possible rain. Mm-hmm. There are all these expectations we have. So what should we expect, really, from public parking? Okay.
Because we are dealing with a situation in PJ and even KL, Subang Jaya, which is by and large built up already. So we do have to balance ideals and expectations with the constraints that we have. So let's say we take SS2 is an example, and parking in front of shops is never enough. And if you want to increase parking spaces, in terms of parking in front of shops, it is just something not possible to do unless you want to demolish half the shops in SS2. So looking at scenarios like this, we have to balance our expectations with also the constraints that we have. I think it is the responsibility of MBBJ to continue to listen to ideas, get feedback, and where possible, we work on increasing car park space. One example which I'm working on right now is in Section 11. Now, there are plenty of good Indian restaurants in Section 11, Banana Leaf, that people like to come, and there's never enough parking space in the area. But fortunately, Section 11, the row of shops, Grand City Restaurant, and the areas around it, there is some room to create more parking spaces that we are in talks with the engineering department in MPPJ to create more parking spaces there. So where it is possible, we should look into how we can help the public by creating more parking spaces. But in the long run, for Klang Valley, urban metropolis of more than 6 million people with a very high density, as we talked in shows in the past, we cannot survive being a car-centric society. We also need to move towards public transportation. We need to move towards balancing the fact that we cannot inconvenience the whole traffic in the area by double parking. And this is something that we've got to always strike a right balance, and that will also involve certain amount of sacrifices and change of our personal patterns. So I sacrifice sometimes, like, you know, you don't eat lunch in a certain place because there just isn't enough car park there, and sometimes you choose to go to the bank at the right hour because, you know, during lunchtime, car parks are probably the highest demand. So you don't go to the bank at lunchtime. Maybe you go to the bank before work or after work.
We have Sashi on the line. Good afternoon, Sashi.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I don't mind this parking enforcement, but you see, I'm a prompt user and I don't like black marks to my name. So I got a summon, I rushed to MPPJ to pay up. And then they have the cheek to tell me, oh, your summon is this year, so you only get a 30 ringgit discount. Whereas 10 years ago, some fella gets to pay 10 ringgit. I think that's very unfair, right? Why this double standard? I think people who are prompt should be rewarded, not the other way around. Am I right?
All right. Thank you for that question. I totally understand that sentiment. And as we talked about earlier, I don't like discounts in general, and I don't think that we should encourage a system of discounts, like, you know, every 2 years having a discount. It wouldn't be fair to people who pay promptly. Now, the discount you talked about, MBBJ summonses are typically 100 ringgit, but if you pay within the first 2 weeks, you get a 70% discount. You only pay 30 ringgit. So that's the reward for prompt payment. So if you pay later, 50 ringgit, and then it goes up to the maximum of 100 ringgit if you pay over, you know, later than 2 months or later than 3 months.
But then if you wait 2 years, it seems to dip again.
That one-off. It should be a one-off. It should not be coming back regularly. But we also in a situation that, you know, that MBPJ and the government in general, the governments in general, have been guilty of making people believe that local council summonses are not effective or toothless, or it's okay not to pay. A lot of people have that perception, it's okay not to pay, because for decades, the summonses were not enforced. You got a summons, that was the level of enforcement, but when you didn't pay, no further punishment came to you. So because of that, people started taking it easy and accumulated a lot of summonses. So those people who have 100 summonses today will argue that, hey, if you blacklist me after the first year, I wouldn't have accumulated 100 summonses. So it's a very difficult decision. You know, I can tell you the personal conflict that I have about this. And the only reason that I can find peace with this suggestion, I know because I personally and would pay promptly in the past as well, is that because we are migrating to a new system of blacklisting, we have a lot of people who have accumulated tens or even hundreds of summons. And so this is just to wipe the slate clean. And after this, your punishment for not paying your summons promptly, you can't wait for 2 years anymore. You can't wait hoping for a great sale 2 or 3 years down the road, because you have to renew your road tax every year and you're going to get stuck there.
I'm speaking today with Rajiv Rishikaran, Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman. We're discussing car summons, more specifically this compound payment campaign we've got going on with discounts that will take us from now until the end of February when we transition into a new system of blacklisting. If you've got any questions, do give us a call. That number is 03-7710-9000. You can also text us at 016-201-9000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We see some questions coming in. We'll get to them right after this. You are listening to BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. You are listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. With me, Rajiv Rishikaran, Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman, here for his monthly show on local governance. Today, it's, I think, a rather hot topic.
Indeed, it is.
Yes, it's car summons and discounts and moving to a new system. We're just covering a lot of ground today, but really it is your show because I think most of us drive. Most of us have been summoned before. So if you have got any questions, our phone lines are open. Give us a call. That number is 03-7710-9000. You can also text 016-201-9000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. And we have Kevin on the line. Good afternoon, Kevin.
Hi, Kevin.
Hi, good afternoon. Hi, I would like to ask whether you guys will set up any road shows or any booth in any shopping malls. It's more convenient for us to check and pay our summonses rather than go to MBPJ during working hours.
Okay, all right.
Thanks, Kevin.
As far as I know, there are no plans for that at this point of time, but it's something that MBPJ could consider. But just for every listener out there, you can hop onto MBPJ's website, or you can even do that on your smartphone, key in your car number plate, and you can check the summonses that you have. And you can even pay online.
And we have Connie as well. Good afternoon, Connie.
Oh, hi, good afternoon.
Hi.
I'm actually an expat. I've been living in PJ for about 3 years now. I had two experiences with parking fines. One was I got a fine, and then we rushed to pay the fine. But when we went to one office, they said system down, so then we had to drive, find another office, wait in a queue for a long time. It was very, very inconvenient.
Okay.
And then the second time was we tried to pay on... They said you can't pay, so try and pay online.
Sorry, Connie, can I check with you? Was this MBPJ summonses or maybe the police?
Parking summons.
By MBPJ?
Yeah.
All right.
So I'm just wondering, are they going to, I guess, improve the system so that we don't have to pay? I think to line up and everything, I think the previous caller was mentioning that. Is there any plans to do it at, say, the post office or something, like in other countries where you can do it straight away, you know? Encourage people to pay on time.
All right. Okay.
Thanks, Connie.
All right. Thanks, Connie. I'll bring these suggestions to MBPJ. But I've on behalf of my dad, I just helped him pay some summonses, and I did it online. Not at the counter, but I actually went online. You can key in a car number plate. You can check your summonses, and I just did this less than a month ago. So, I'm sorry that you ran into some trouble some time ago, but if you would give it a try now, I've tried it less than a month ago. It works.
We have a question here via text. What about summons received in 2015? Will they get a discount as well?
If you pay them, 2015 is not subjected to the great sale discount, as we're calling it today. But for all the summonses issued by MPPJ, within the first 2 weeks, you get a discount of 70%. So you just pay 30 ringgit. And the discount amount gets lesser and lesser throughout the weeks. And but after 2 or 3 months, you have to pay the full amount of 100 ringgit.
Subhas lives in Selayang and says, are other councils offering these discounts? I have something by MPS. How?
Well, I can't speak for MPS today. I would not encourage any other local council to offer such discounts. I think save for such a tie-up as what MPPJ is doing with JPJ now, then maybe it can be a one-off grace period just to clear off the summonses before a formal link-up is done with JPJ.
We have a text here also. The parking slots are not fully utilized, like SS2, Uptown, etc. It's quite spacious, which could be better planned, no? So I think this person might be, if I understand correctly, if not, do text us again to correct me. But I think this this listener might be saying that we could have smaller parking lots.
Okay, that's something we can look at. I think that's more area by areas. But sometimes if you're driving a smaller car, say a Myvi or a Viva, the box may look small. I mean, the box may look big to you and it could be smaller, but there are also bigger cars that park in the lot from time to time, four-wheel drives.
MPVs.
So there is a standard size that MPPJ has, and I think every other council will have a standard size to paint. Occasionally, they deviate from the standard size due to constraints inside. We can always look into, we can always relook into that and whether we could make it smaller, but we have to still keep into account the fact that a lot of cars are much bigger than the generic Myvis that we see on the road.
And we have another call. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, I agree with you that it's impossible to provide adequate parking space because there are so many SOV, single occupancy vehicle.
Okay.
So I would like to know what sort of measure or would you be considering providing feeder bus service or mini bus service to ply among taman-taman or go to connect to community like places like the market so that people need not drive to the market? And also one of the reasons I could think of why people are not willing to drive to are not willing to take public transport is they have to wait because there's no like a mini bus plying taman-taman. And then second thing is the bus station is so hot and in such a poor, not properly maintained state, which is not comfortable. Due to our weather, I think people are forced to drive to the nearby places. So I think is this one way to reduce the carbon emissions by having people to take more mini buses? This is one. The third question I would like to know is how much is the summon which is owing, and with this money you collected, what are you going to do?
All right. Wow. Okay.
Thanks for the call.
Let's deal with them. Thanks. Actually, I really like the think positive attitude by this caller. Yes, we really need to move towards a public transport-based society. And towards that end, MPPJ is probably the only local council to work on a public transport master plan that we should be ready in the next couple of months. And we'll be happy to get public feedback on that before it's being implemented. But one of the things in the transport master plan is about 100 overroutes. I think, if I remember correctly, about 117 feeder routes that are being proposed in this plan. We will not have full-length buses for these routes, but we will have the microbuses. These are probably slightly smaller than the mini buses to be able to go through the small roads that plague PJ. So this will be able to bring the buses closer to homes and to connect them to the nearest MRT or LRT stations and the nearest commercial areas. So not 5, not 10, not even 50, but 100 over. If I remember correctly, 117 of these feeder routes are being proposed in the master plan alongside many other measures to improve public transport in Petaling Jaya. With regards to bus stops and other infrastructure, PJ is embarking on improving pedestrian and also public transport infrastructure. We have a number of buses that have been repaired and upgraded in my Bukit Gasing constituency. We also have a lot of pedestrian paths that have been constructed last year, and even this year's budget, a number of other locations are being debated about because we have a finite amount of money, but we've put aside a couple of million this year to further improve the pedestrian network. So these are efforts that are being done. Sometimes, you know, for the example earlier, that to buy a packet of sugar, you may not have to drive, you could walk to a nearest grocery shop. That could be an option. You could even cycle. We want to make that a safe option down the road. So these are things that are being worked on. And as for what happens with all the money you pay and how much. Okay, so the 10 ringgit per summons for the older ones and 20 ringgit for the more recent ones, this goes into the consolidated fund of MPPJ. And from this fund, this is where MPPJ gets its revenue to operate all kinds of services, from garbage collection and maintenance of infrastructure and so on. So it goes into the consolidated funds of MPPJ.
So in some ways, our discounted summons might be helping to pay for our microbuses?
It might, yes.
Maybe,
yes.
Okay.
You could draw that link. You
could. And we have somebody who's anonymous here, I think, because, they end their text by saying, I know it's irresponsible, so perhaps a tinge of guilt. I have a few outstanding summons, but I sold that car in 2012. Should I pay up?
Yes, I would say you should pay up because the records of you buying and selling your car is there, and so the new owner does not have to take responsibility for summons that you incurred.
When we look at that consolidated fund earlier that you were talking about, how dependent are MPPJ on traffic summons, you know, to, because this is kind of related to something I wanted to ask as well. Why not just take a hardline approach and say, like, you know what, everybody, you've had 10 years to pay, you know, I don't care anymore, you just can't get road tax.
MPPJ is not very dependent on this. It amounts, all sorts of summonses put together amounts to less than 10% of MPPJ's operating expenditure. So we're not very dependent on this.
Why not take the hardline approach?
The purpose for the summonses is not to collect revenue. I think that should be set clear, because in the case of MPPJ, it is less than 10% of our revenue. It is really not to collect revenue. It is for the purpose to have orderly parking situations in our commercial areas. So we want enforcement to make sure that there's orderly parking, because if you have triple parking everywhere, traffic is congested, no one has a good time. Horns blaring, businesses can't be conducted properly. I mean, we all don't want that. And that's why enforcement is there. But enforcement, like issuing summonses and not following it up with any further deterrent for not paying the summonses, is weak enforcement. So now we're just getting stronger enforcement. And the purpose is to get that ideal situation and not to collect revenue.
We still have Rajiv Rishikaran, Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman, in the studio talking about car summons. We don't have a lot of time, but if you have a question on car summons, on paying your summons, apparently on whether or not to pay your summons, which shouldn't be a question, give us a call. That number is 0377109000. You can also text 0162019000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. And a question via text from John. Actually, it's not a question, it's a suggestion. Please implement time limits for public parking.
Indeed. This is something that I feel strongly. I have, when I was a counsellor, and at the time my zone was in Taipan, Subang Jaya, we implemented this 1 hour parking limit. Right now, we are in the midst of discussions to implement a 2 hour parking limit in PJ State area, because PJ State has two multi-storey car parks. One opposite Standard Chartered Bank, one behind Maybank, and these car parks are not fully utilized. So we want to encourage the employees in the area to park at the multi-story building, because you walk to work at 8, 9 o'clock in the morning, you walk back to your car at 5, 6 o'clock in the morning. And to have a time-based system for the street-level parking, we are proposing a 2-hour street-level parking system where customers can utilize it, and then more bays will be freed up for people who are just popping in for a short errand.
Very quickly, these 2 points are not questions, but I can imagine the frustrations. I'm just going to air it. Don't have to talk about it. But Hazik via Twitter says, in Maluri Cheras, park in front of somebody's house, also kena saman. And then we have somebody else saying parking at TNBPJ is non-existent. So you have our sympathies.
Yes.
You know, it's been aired. I want to talk a little bit about, because in different states in Malaysia, we've seen the advent of parking coupons. Mm-hmm. You know, we have parking coupons now, we have parking meters. Which is going to be the most efficient? Are we going to be able to standardize this?
I think I would personally prefer to have a dual system that you can either pay for your parking via coupons, the way that used to be done in Subang Jaya, the way that is still being done in Singapore, or you could pay the way of machines, like what you see in PJ today. Giving people the option, I think, would make it easier on people, those who prefer not to buy the books, who maybe come to PJ once in a while, so they could use the machine. Those who park regularly, who run errands every day, they could buy the coupon book, so they don't have to walk up and down the machine.
Mm-hmm.
So my personal preference, give both, have both options. Let the users decide which is easier for them.
Both those options are also relatively old school, some might
Indeed.
Say, compared to what we have abroad, you know, which you might have seen parking meters that allow credit card payments, pay by phone parking that allows technology to pay and then alerts users when they need to come back and top it up. Technologically, in terms of our infrastructure, are we ready for that?
I think we are ready to try them, but not ready to go exclusive on them. A lot of users are still old school, if I may use that term, in PJ and in Malaysia, and that we can't go totally to a system like that. But alongside a coupon and the park and display system that we have now, a pay and display system that we have now, we could certainly explore. We certainly give these kind of options that you can just send an SMS code, or you could swipe your credit card at the machine instead of feeding it a bucket load of coins to pay for parking. This is things that I would encourage all local governments in Malaysia to explore.
We have a listener via text who says MBPJ themselves park where they shouldn't, so a complaint.
That would not be acceptable. If you could snap a picture with your phone and send it to aduan@mbpj.gov.my, that would be helpful. Now, in cases of emergency or certain enforcement action where the vehicle, MBPJ official vehicle, is by the roadside, I think those are fair situations. I would not consider illegal parking. But if enforcement, if just say general officers are going out for lunch, they should not park illegally.
Okay. So just for this listener, I mean, assuming that I see this, I take the picture, I send it through, what kind of response should I expect?
If you send an email in, you should get a reply. You should get the first reply immediately to acknowledge receiving your email, and you should get a complaint reference number within the next working day. And then subsequently, with that reference number, you can always, if you don't get a third email from them, you could always check with that reference number what action has been taken. MBPJ would be able to track who was driving the car at the day at that time.
We have so many questions that didn't get asked, unfortunately, but I'm glad that everybody got to ask you what they wanted to get, you know, through. But we have run out of time. So finally then, what would you like to leave us with? What message would you like to leave us with on the subject?
I think it's really important that people be aware of the change. For so long, for decades, we've been used to seeing people crumple MBPJ summonses and just ignoring them, throwing them away. And if you just Google up MBPJ summons, you'll have loads of advice on forums saying, yeah, no need to pay lah.
It's fine.
Times are changing. So coming this March, they will be linked to your road tax renewal. It's going to be a big change. For some people, it's going to be a painful change. If you do have summonses, you really should get them sorted out soon, before the grace period expires and you have to pay the full amount upon renewing your road tax. So I think that's something that our listeners out there could tell all your loved ones, help your brothers, sisters, husband, wives, fathers, mothers, children, check their summons for them before it's too late and the price, the campaign is over and the price goes back to normal.
I've been speaking today with Rajavishakaran, Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman. We've been discussing car summons, discounts, new systems, blacklisting, just wide-ranging show. Thank you very much for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.